Welcome to the Listics AFL podcast, where we analyse AFL list building, free agency, trade and the draft. We're also working to help everyone achieve their best possible mental health, and we'd like to acknowledge our podcast partners, Beyond Blue.
If you're feeling low, anxious, or you need to talk to someone, please contact the team at Beyond Blue. You can call them anytime on 1300 22 46 36, or visit them at the website at www.beyondblue.org.au.
Now, without further ado, I'm John Van Norden.
And I'm Sean Lewis, and it's Listics podcast time.
Welcome back. Thanks again for listening, guys. And we're going to bring to you the second round now. If you haven't already listened to the first round, then go back. We don't want you in this episode until you've at least put in the first 20 picks. I'm not going to even reveal who's gone before. That might come out as we're going, but we're just going to jump straight in. We're up to pick 21 now. So pick 21 is currently sitting with Declan and the Giants. Dec, do you want to jump in and let us know who you're looking at?
Oh, well, you did say let's not reveal who we picked in the first round, so that's sort of screwed up.
No. You can talk about it in terms of who you'd already selected for that club. I just mean I wasn't going to whip round and give people in order the players that have been selected.
All right, good. So my Josh Sinn selection in the first round has sort of got me thinking that I might want to pair up a couple of teammates in Campbell Chesser. But I think that they're sort of similar players, and as good as Chesser is, he's not going to offer anything different enough to what we've already got at the club to warrant it. So I'll go with my next best available player and someone that hits our forward half need again, and that'll be Sam Butler, brother of Daniel, obviously.
Good choice. Do you want to talk us through how he plays and what he does?
Yeah, he's earned comparisons to his brother. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but, you know, I think Sam has all the tools to be a successful player at the next level. You know, you see his on-field work rate, and he's, you know, not necessarily a defensive focus, but, you know, I've never seen him give up or make a mistake through a lapse defensively or anything like that. You know, he's a hard tackler. He wins it in close. He's a really good contested player, and you know, he has really good forward craft as well when he is stationed up there. You know, he can sneak a few goals. He's a good kick. So he's the sort of player that everyone wants on their team. And, you know, he's got the added advantage of having that midfield craft and the potential to develop in that area as well.
Fantastic. Michael up next with North Melbourne.
I've kind of shot myself in the foot with my Brisbane pick because it's probably someone I would have liked available here, obviously that being Darcy Wilmot at number 20. But for North Melbourne here, in terms of needs, there's probably a few. They sought to develop their midfield last year. We've already got Jason Horne-Francis in this year. So I'm going to go a little bit early on a versatile player and one who I see starting in defence and probably staying there, and that's going to be Tom Brown.
Ooh. Stuff's on portal. Talk us through.
Yeah, so I like his versatility. I think that he's one who can play aerially and at ground level. So he's obviously got that searing speed, but his athleticism's great too. So might be jumping a little bit early on him, but I think in terms of potential and, you know, that combination with his athleticism and that versatility too, because he can play on all three lines, I think that's a package that warrants selection early in the second round. So I'm going to take him.
Nice pick. Me up next with Hawthorne. Tom Brown was on my list, so good choice there. He's definitely around this mark, I think, so I don't think you've gone too early. I've got more choice than I expected.
Out of interest, Sean, I don't know how we could do this because I just thought I'm Collingwood and I was going to trade into that, like trade my first rounder in, but I'm not sure how we could work it out if you're interested, if there was some way you could part with your picks, maybe the back. But
I'm not going to trade. Hawthorne, we're in rebuilding mode. Oh, there's two players on the board here, and if I play it right, hopefully I can get them both.
So I'm going to take Matt Roberts with the next pick. Probably the highest floor player remaining on the board. Just a good, solid midfielder, you know, high production, has good IQ, probably needs to work on improving his tank as he comes into the AFL. He probably is a little bit similar to a couple of Hawthorn mids, but obviously Hawthorn's looking to transition over the next few years, so it'll be really good to bring in a kid like Matt Roberts, and I think he'll do very well at Hawthorn. Who's up next, John?
Yeah, Mike are up next with the first of many Geelong picks in this round.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys that I was eyeing off at this pick. The first one on my list was actually Tom Brown as well. So, Michael, definitely not too early. I second Sean's sentiments on that. He's a very good selection for North Melbourne. But I've nailed it down to Campbell Chesser. I just think for his upside, for the class that he possesses, for his speed, his athleticism, and the player that I think he can be, I think he's pretty good value at pick 24 for Geelong.
Yep, absolutely agree. He was the one I was hoping would go one more pick. So I probably couldn't have. These two are probably the next two going. So if I hadn't have selected Roberts, would you have taken him?
Nah, you probably would have got him, mate. So wrong way around, unfortunately.
Do you, maybe there's the possibility that you can slide back here, Sean, to wait, maybe pick 32 Sydney and make Micah make the same choice about a player and try to get him back, because that's harsh.
No, that's all good. All right, so back to Hawthorn now. With the Bulldogs sacrificing their pick 23, Hawthorn's pick jumps up one. With this pick, I'm going for needs. It might be a little bit early, but I love this guy, Rhett Bazzo. Welcome to Hawthorn. Key defender, so to complement Granger Barras, obviously they've got Scrimshaw and Sicily as well. But moving into the future, Rhett Bazzo, that's going to be form your nucleus of your back line. We've obviously gone and got a forward with our early pick. If Gibkiss had slipped, we probably would have looked at a different tall like a Jack Williams here. But yeah, I just really rate Bazzo as a defender. He has got some flexibility to go forward as well. But yeah, I just think you've got to start building your talls now. We can draft more midfielders either later in this draft or in next year's draft. So, yep.
All right. So I'm Carlton. And because none of you guys will do it, I'm bidding on Mitch Owens, Ed.
Mitch Owens.
I think you've stunned him.
What's that? No, yeah, I can take him. Okay, thanks, Ed.
Sorry, guys, I was muted. Sorry.
I'm kidding him, I swear.
What would you like, Pete?
What would I like? I'd like to know if you want Mitch Owens or not.
Yeah, wouldn't mind him. The Saints would be very happy to match a bid here.
All right. Well, we can go ahead and work that out. Do you want to give us a quick rundown, Ed, on Mitch Owens as a player?
Yeah, so Mitch Owens has played quite a range of roles this year and had a bit of a growth spurt from his under-16s. He's now about that 190-centimetre mark. He's played on the wing, he's played forward, he's spent a little bit of time down back for Vic Metro, and he even looked really good late in the year in the midfield, which I think will be his long-term position. I mean, he's got really good power through the legs. He's got a lot of strength. He's very good overhead. His endurance is probably something he needs to work on a little bit more, but if he can really lift that up, he could be a very dangerous midfielder long-term. I mean, he's one that you would have liked to have seen get a full year, and he could have been one that really pushed his chances. I mean, Sandringham definitely would have played finals this year, and he could have been one to really stake his claim as a definite top 20 choice. But, I mean, very happy to match a bid here, and yeah.
So I'm just working out, sorry, with all the pick shuffling, it's all... so they've lost 56, 60, 61. And they've got another one somewhere.
So it's pretty much pushed them out. Yeah, it's pushed him out of the first 3 to 4 rounds at least. So we'll drop him back. And Peter, you're up with pick 27.
Yep. I'm going to be beating Josh Fay. Thanks. Declan?
JWS will pretty promptly match that one, I reckon.
Yeah, good match. So this is classic Carlton behavior. Yeah. Like you don't even have to buy time like they were trying to act in the draft. This is just vindictive. Yep. But I like it. So
it's not done yet.
Wait a second. First of all, let's get the GWS opinion on Josh Fay as a player. Deck, do you want to give us a quick rundown on that?
So Faye's a pretty solid just rebounding defender. He's pretty daring and likes to use his dash as much as he can. And obviously I think the highlight of his game and what everyone thinks of first and foremost is his sort of long kick. He regularly gets 60 metres behind his kicks and he gets some good penetration as well. So having that rebounding out of your back half is certainly going to trouble opposition teams with their structuring and should be good if we can, you know, manage to work around it.
Now you are welcome to place another bid while Sean works out points. We might do a point summary.
They've lost their next two picks.
Okay, they've lost their next two picks, but you're up with your next pick, Carlton. You're still with pick 28 now. You're going to make another bid.
Yeah, I'm going to send St Kilda into 2024 and go Marcus Windhager.
Okay, so I really wanted to use my pick in the 60s that I could have used, but I guess that's not going to happen now. But we will definitely match for Marcus Windhager. I mean, he's one who's had a really solid year playing for Haileybury and Sandringham. He's a dynamic half forward who can go through the midfield. There's definitely a bit to like about him. He's had some pretty good games. I mean, one where it was for a Metro trial game where he really impressed on the wing. So he's another one, a bit like Owens, who didn't get a lot of games to really prove himself, but could have really gone even higher than where he was taken here if he was able to play finals and proper championships.
Sort of cut out there a little bit. So we just did the quick points calculation on that as well. That'll probably send St Kilda into a debt of about 480 points for next year, given that the Mitch Owens pick would have wiped out them from the rest of the draft, or at least their point scoring draft picks. So carrying forward a debt of approximately a mid-second round pick for next year.
Yeah, and that'll be applied to their second round pick. It doesn't apply to their first round because it's outside of the first round now.
Yeah, like, I mean, it would be interesting to see how this one played out in reality in the draft. Like, I know that we're sort of moving through it at some pace now, but I would imagine that a team like Fremantle, like sitting there with, they had 287 plus 112 points, so almost 400 points before this, might have traded those two selections to St Kilda for, say, a future third or something like that, you know, or like a future second or an upgrade on a pick in order to St Kilda to reduce the debt that they would face next year and make an adjustment. But we've made the match already. So, Pete, don't tell me that you want Jace Burgoyne or Eric Benning with this next selection, please. Just that...
No. But I have struck a deal with my favourite list manager over at West Coast as a part, and that is part of the deal. We're doing some handshaking behind closed doors. Nice. I'm trading pick 29 for 33 and 39. So it's a Carlton West Coast deal.
Okay. West Coast up and Carlton are going to move into those two selections.
Yeah, nice and easy trade this time.
Yep. No, that's good.
You know we're struggling, so you're keeping them simple. Thank you.
Yeah, well, all right. These guys just bid heaps of players, so
That was good. It was exactly what Carlton did last time as well. Bid, and then trade. So West True Coast, form. You're on the clock. Who are you looking at pick 29?
Yeah, there's a lot of different options here, actually. And I think like from 20 onwards, it's a bit of a, as everyone would know, it's really throw a blanket over 40 of them. So I'm sort of struggling between my best available, which is Blake Howes, or going for some local talent. So Jesse Motlop, Brady Hoff, and Angus Sheldrick are all sort of in consideration for me here. And I think I'll lock in Angus Sheldrick for West Coast.
Ooh. Talk us through that one.
So he's just a really consistent midfielder. Obviously, you know, he's not the tallest and he's pretty well developed physically already, but I think looking at just how strong he is at winning contested possessions, and how hard he works contest to contest, I think he's going to be one of those guys that comes in, has an immediate impact, and, you know, he might not ever be an A grader, but he's going to be that sort of player that's reliable. You know, all his teammates love to have him on the team because they know what they're going to get. The first name on the whiteboard sort of player. And I think that's something that West Coast could use. And I think that they've shown they use those types of role players pretty well.
Yep. Great selection. You've got two picks in a row with Port Adelaide.
Fantastic.
Take it away.
I'll go that best available I was talking about and continue Port Adelaide's tradition of selecting Sandringham players with Blake Howes.
Nice. Do you want to make the second one and then talk us through them both?
I hadn't even thought about the second one, to be honest. There's so, again, as I say, like, there's so many different options around here. I'm going to go with Connor McDonald from the Stingrays for Port here.
All right, now talk us through them and what are they, how are they going to fit in, and how are they going to make Port Adelaide a premiership side?
Yeah, so Blake Howes is your sort of prototypical tall half flanker that, you know, Port Adelaide seem to love selecting. They've done it to great success with someone like Miles Bergman and Xavier Dersma. he's just got some really good athletic traits. Like, his leap would be close to the best in the draft class, I think. You know, he's got some speed. He's got game sense. He works hard. You know, he's a good kick and he knows where the goals are when he's around there. And he's shown throughout the year that he can sort of push up the ground and play on the wing or off a halfback flank if need be. So, you know, I think that versatility is going to give Port Adelaide a lot of options, and, you know, he's sort of got that profile that they do typically go for. And then Connor McDonald is a bit of a random one. I did sort of consider Judson Clark around here as well, but I think with Blake Howes, they could probably afford to go with someone like McDonald that, you know, he might be seen as a bit of a safe midfield option, but I think, you know, they've got some aging players in there. Someone like Boak, for example, who still does so much. You know, McDonald's got that speed. You know, he's a hard worker like Howes is. He's good on the inside, quick hands. You know, his kicking could do with a little bit of work, but I think if you're looking at his strengths, he's a really good player and one that any club would love to have on their list.
Nope, sounds great. With the next pick, we have Richmond and Peter, and then Peter with Carlton as well.
Yeah, these are two different very needs, and I know who I'm going. So for Richmond, I know Richmond fans said to me they were after a tall player for one of their picks. So at least one. They wanted a couple, but they can get one. I've already got them some guns at the top. So for me, I think we can afford to go Jack Williams here. I think he's, you know, the logical tall option for me. Obviously, can play forward. He looked really good defense at times through champs, and I think he can sort of fit that mold. He suits what they want. So pretty happy with that. And without further ado, I'm going to pick this player because they're not going to be on the board by the time I get to Carlton's second pick. So I'll go with Jesse Motlop for Carlton, and Frio cannot match.
I know. I was just actually doing my my research on what I would have to do in order to guide Jesse through to at least pick 39, where I could have potentially lost a lot of leverage and tried to have to trade up to make sure that he goes after 40. But Yeah, a good selection. Talk us through why he'd be a good fit at Carlton.
Look, he provides that X factor, a bit of excitement. Obviously, we know Carlton have been going through that sort of a fair few that have left over the time. Eddie Betts, obviously, he adds that class inside 50. They haven't had great small forwards over the journey, apart from Betts. So, like, I just feel like he fits that mold really well, and he's able to come in and impact the scoreboard. I think he's got a lot of upside too. He's someone who's come on a lot in recent years. So I think he's a pretty good selection at this pick.
Yep, like it. Moving on now, we're pick 34, and Geelong have a little bit of a run coming up, every alternative pick. So, Micah, over to you.
Yeah, I've been debating what to do with this pick, and I'll be honest, I had Connor McDonald at the top of my list, I had Blake Howes at the top of my list, I had Jesse Motlop there as well, so it's been a bit of a painful run for me, but I'm going to lock in Judson Clark with pick 34 for Geelong. I like his speed in the forward half. He's got good agility. He's got good goal sense. He's a good finisher in front of goal. And maybe his defensive pressure could improve a little bit, but I think as he adds a little bit of size, that will come as well. So I think he adds a little bit of a point of difference inside Geelong's forward 50, and I think he'll be a guy that can probably have a bit of an impact in over his first, you know, 2 or 3 years at the club. So really excited to add Judson Clark to Geelong's list.
I mean, he can add an impact in the first 2 or 3 years, but you've got to play him, mate.
Very true. Very true.
Sorry, Geelong fans. A little bit of a cheapie there. On to pick 35, Sydney and Ed, you're up.
Pipped at the post. Judson Clark was far and away my number one selection for that pick if he made it, but unfortunately that was not to be. Now, this is a really tough selection to make. There's a lot. I've got about four players I'm really considering for this pick, but I'm going to go one who I think definitely goes a bit earlier than this selection in the real thing. I'm going to definitely add to Sydney's midfield bolstering, and I'm going to go with Zach Taylor.
Oh, good choice. Let's talk us through it.
Yeah, so Zach Taylor is a really creative midfielder. I mean, he's a bit like a Zach Merritt, how he's very crafty, he gets a lot of the ball, he can go forward as well, he's pretty good overhead, his agility is really good and composure. I mean, he can dance around opponents like you wouldn't believe, and I can definitely see him factoring as a kind of a small forward early days and then going into that midfield, which is going to be a scary midfield, you know, in the coming years for the Swans. I mean, you've got Goulden and Campbell going through there as youngsters, you've got James Rowbottom already there. And then you add Nevitt as well. I mean, you'd have to be really excited about the midfield long term.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of other good young players up there at Sydney as well. So back on the clock with Geelong, Micah.
Well, that's just payback, Ed. I was pretty confident that you'd be right into Judson Clark. So I thought I'll go him early, but you got me back with Zach Taylor. He was the next one on my board, so I'm a little bit disappointed with that. But what goes around comes around, I guess. So I got to cop that. I'm going to go key position here. I'm going to go a mature ager for Geelong, and I'm going to pick Leek Alia. So pretty athletic, tall defender. Really came on for Central Districts this year in the SANFL. He got a chance pretty early on to have a crack at league footy and really embraced it and was, you know, really influential in some games with his intercept marking, and his ball use has got a little way to come. But if he can add just a little bit of consistency by foot, I think he can be a real weapon in the back half. So I think he's got a fair bit of growth in him, and maybe he's not, you know, round one ready for next year, but I think over the coming years, he'll be able to sort of cement a spot in Geelong's defensive 50. So pretty happy to get Leek Alia.
Yeah, I think this is a great pick for Geelong. Certainly fills a big hole in their list. And being a mature age prospect as well, he can come right in. So I think he also broke quite a few draft combine records, am I mistaken?
Yeah, the vertical leap, he was pretty impressive. He his first jump, he actually jumped well above the marker that they'd set, so he had to have a second crack at it. but yeah, really impressive athlete. So I think those athletic traits translate really well for him. And I think he can use that athleticism to really intercept and have an influence in the offensive half. So be interesting to see how his footy comes along over the next few years and see what sort of impact he can have at the level.
Yep, absolutely. And you're back on the clock with Adelaide at pick 37.
I am. It's my club, and I'm going to pick one of my favourite prospects. I'm perhaps a little bit early, but I'm going to go Kai Lohman. I spoke about X Factor when I picked Josh Rochelle early, and I'm going to add a little bit more of that. I think we're a pretty vanilla group. There's not a lot of real top-end talent on our list, and I think whilst Kai Lohman might not be that potential A grader, he does offer that X Factor, and that's definitely something we need. He's a pretty special athlete, a really strong aerial athlete. He can have an influence on the air, but as soon as the ball hits the deck, he's got the pace to really hit the contest at speed, and he can win the footy there. He applies good pressure with his pace as well, and as he has a little bit of size, I think he can sort of, you know, finish off tackles and really apply some pressure in the forward 50. So I think he'll start in the forward half. Potentially can move through the midfield and up onto a wing as well. So I think he has a bit of versatility about him that will make him a little bit plug and play at the next level, which will be handy. But yeah, it's the X factor that I'm really after for the Crows. And I think, you know, between Rochelle and Lohman, I think we've really advanced that part of the list.
Yep, sounds good. And you're back with Geelong.
Yeah, it's been a tough run here. I'm vying between two, and given that I've added Judson Clark and added someone who's probably going to be predominantly forward, I'm going to leave my small forward on the board and hope that I can maybe pick him up a little bit later. And I'm going to go a bit left field again, and I'm actually going to go one of my favorite South Australian prospects in James Willis. So it is quite early. And he's sort of suffered a bit of injury towards the back end of the year that sort of probably made him slip off the radar even more than perhaps he already was. But he's a pretty dynamic guy that can go through the midfield. He's pretty versatile. He spent time on a wing this year, spent time at halfback, and also time at half forward. So again, he's another that's probably going to be plug and play at the next level. And he's pretty well developed already, but he's actually still really explosive and he's got speed. So I think that will bode well for him at the next level. And if he can just tidy up some of his consistency by foot and some of his consistency in front of goal, I think he can be a bit of a weapon at the next level. So Geelong have added a little bit of pace and a little bit of, I guess, class and X factor with Clark, and then a little bit more with Willis as well here. So perhaps a little bit of a reach, but a prospect that I really like and pretty happy to take.
Yeah, and it does fit with the kind of the way they've been recruiting. They went Holmes last year for that speed. It's probably been one of the knocks on them for a little while. So absolutely fitting with their drafting. So I think these last three picks have been great for them. They just got to develop these kids. So now, 39, Peter.
Yeah.
Charlton, what are we doing?
Mike nearly gave me heart palpitations there because I thought he'd almost taken the one that I was after. This kid, I really rate. Really rated him for a few years. Hasn't had a lot of luck, but I'll go with Cooper Merley. Thanks.
Merley.
Really, really like what he can do. I think on talent alone, he's a lot higher than this. So I think at 39, he's a very good pick.
Do you want to talk us through the type of player he is?
He's just that midfielder, quite classy. Look, he wins the ball. He's been a really high talent player for a long time, and unfortunately just hasn't had the injuries a lot of late, and hasn't really had a chance this year, like even less so than most others. So for me, he's definitely a lot higher. He's that top 30 prospect if he was able to get on the park, perhaps even higher. So I think at 39, he just adds to that Carlton group really well.
Yep, I like it. Pick 40, we're on the clock with Melbourne. So that's me. I'm down to one name. So I'm going to pick Sam Banks. And I think for Melbourne, this is just really about getting some more speed, a bit of outside class, and a good ball user. There's certainly some knocks on his game, but I think given he will sit probably down the pecking order, Melbourne can spend the time running him through Casey, developing him, and potentially turn him into a real weapon off a wing. I think that is probably the best fit from the players I can see for Melbourne. And I'll pass over pick 41 and the last pick of the second round to Ed, Sydney.
All right, so before I mentioned that I was choosing between four or five players, and only one of those players is now left after Micah really took a dent out of those names. But I'm going to go with the very versatile Brady Hoff.
Brady Hoff. Talk us through it.
Yeah, so Hoff is one who's played quite a few roles for WA, but for Peel Thunder, he's mostly been on a wing. But for WA, he's spent some time at half back and half forward, and definitely on the wing, where he's shown some really good signs. I mean, it just shows, like a Sam Durham that Essendon got recently. Those, you know, athletic, a bit taller players who can play all these range of positions are becoming more and more valuable. And Hoff even had a really good game in his league debut, having about 24 disposals, which is better than what any other WA prospect has managed to achieve at league level. So, I mean, who knows how well he would have gone this year if he was picked up on a bit sooner. But, yeah, very happy for the Swans to pick someone like Hoff here who could be anything for them. They could play him in any position, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll run quickly over the second round, and I'm probably guessing we haven't got time for the third round because I need to get home. but before we go, what we will get is our draft experts to talk through maybe two remaining picks on the board that they really like and why they like them. So I'll quickly run through it. So pick 21... GWS took Sam Butler, 22 North Melbourne took Tom Brown, 23 Hawthorn Matt Roberts, 24 Geelong and Campbell Chesser, 25 Hawthorn with Rhett Bazo, 26 St Kilda matched a bid for Mitch Owens, GWS at 27 matched for Josh Faye, 28 St Kilda matched for Marcus Windhager. Sorry, apologies, I can't quite get that one right. 29, West Coast took Angus Sheldrick. 30 and 31 to Port Adelaide was Blake Howes and Connor McDonald. Richmond took Jack Williams at 32. Carlton took Jesse Motlop at 33. Geelong took Judson Clark at 34. Sydney, Zach Taylor at 35. 36, Lee Collier to Geelong. 37, Adelaide took Kai Lohman. 38, Geelong, James Willis. 39, Carlton, Cooper Murley. 40, Melbourne, Sam Banks, and 41, Sydney, Brady
Hoff. I reckon that's a Hoff. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, good to see how the second round played out. And as, I mean, a few of us have sort of touched on, there was a couple of, like, a relatively large blanket that could have been thrown over a number of names there. But interesting to see that there was also a few of us had all of the same names over a short pick span as well. So, good to see that there's still some players that we're rating about the same. The other thing I was going to say is because I think that we were all saying, like, as you sort of said, a couple of players that you'd be looking at for those next few picks. We could potentially take it through to 50. 50 is a nice round number, but maybe I'll draft for you, Sean.
Well, I was going to say the third round because Collingwood comes into itself here.
This is Collingwood's own. Well, then let's go through maybe the teams that are in this area. What kind of players would you be looking for? So let's go North Melbourne, have two picks. Michael, talk through North Melbourne. Peter, talk through Collingwood. And we'll just get a quick summary of what we might be looking for in this round.
Yeah, so I'll start off with North. Given I've already got Horn Francis and Brown, probably looking for a tall. So... or a small forward. So someone like Paul Curtis in the small forward role. Then there's guys like Lachlan Rankin, who's really versatile, can play that sort of role on each line. Charlie Mullen, I think, would suit a young developing group really well, just with his sort of leadership and things like that. Also a tall. So guys like Jai Sarong, his taller brother, who's a key position utility, can also play midfield. Morgan Ferris would add a little bit of depth and just something different to what they have. They probably do need a key back though. So, there's a few guys like Charlie Dean, Noel Pegoraro, a couple of mature ages that might have come into consideration there. There's just so many there's a lot of talent on the board. Like in terms of my rankings, even Corey Warner is there as well. So there's plenty of guys who would have come into consideration for me there.
Yeah, and for Collingwood, like obviously we've got three picks in this third round now because the bidding, the way it happened, which is quite handy. I think this would be us wrapping up because I think we've got the potential to draft four if we want, with obviously three with Dacos. So I'd probably be considering a few here. Rankin would definitely be a high one on my list. He's one of the highest one I've got left. And I think that it would be worth, we'd probably pull the trigger on Conway. We can do with another ruck, given that Max Lynch walked out the door. So, I think we'd probably pull the trigger on Conway in this scenario. I'd take a look at Lewis Rayson potentially as one of the later ones. Paul Curtis, we could fit in with another small forward. And let's be honest, I'd probably make a few bids as well just because it's fun. So, I think that I probably would have gone at least one of the picks, probably 51 I would have bid on Woe Woden and potentially throwing that to Sean. But, I think him and Burgoyne, you start to consider some of the bidding in that third round onwards. So, I think that would have made it interesting.
Yeah, and I think Melbourne will match a bid for Taj Woe Woden. I reckon they'd be expecting a pick somewhere in the 50s.
It's an interesting one because the rule changed at the end of last year, didn't it, regarding matching picks after 40. Where it's the club's next available selection rather than a point system, because I was thinking that, and I don't think that Benning is necessarily a player that attracts a bid, even in the third round. He could be, but it really is anywhere after that. And I was looking at ways to either jump up to the current pick, so try to package up picks to get towards 42 to make a selection and then leave it and just wait to match, or exit the draft before a bid is made and go just get a future third or something to make sure that the pick's not going to be swallowed up if you do want the player. So it'd be interesting to see how that tactic plays out on the night, and whether they... I don't imagine that, given that that's how it works now, you would be able to live trade out your next pick, because that would be pretty dodgy. If a bid came for me at... I say 48 from Essendon, Ed places a bid, and I said, actually, I'm going to trade out 49 and 57 for future picks. My next pick is 90. Thank you very much. I'll match with 90.
Well, the last time we speculated about something like this, the AFL hadn't actually put in the rule to
stop that from happening, and they allowed it to happen. That's true. Yeah. So let's see.
Ed, is there any player left on the board you wanted to talk about?
Ed, that's actually Essendon had two selections and Melbourne have two selections, so you both get to talk about a player.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously Essendon wanted to get another small forward in with Ian Hill, but that didn't end up transpiring. But I wouldn't say there's many newer names of small forwards, but, I mean, probably just in general, just some forwards to look out for. I mean... Miller Bergman can play half back and wing, but I really like some times he moved forward. He showed a lot of craft there. You got Luke Nankervis from Sandringham, who's very evasive. He's got a good size, quite a lot of development left with him. Jamal Stretch from WA, he's a very exciting small forward. Corey Preston played really well at half back actually for Vic Metro, but definitely shows it a little bit up forward. And just in terms of good players left on the board that I wouldn't mind, Jameson Ballantyne, he's a very classy wingman. Same with Ronald Fago Jr. He's a very classy type. Ned Long, if they wanted to bolster the inside midfield stocks. And a halfback that I don't mind as well is Bryce Watson, who has played some really good games for Swan Districts this year.
Yep.
Well, I mean, let's just round out. So I haven't heard from Micah or Declan. Micah and Declan, in this round, sort of where would you be looking?
I'll go first. Sorry, Declan. My guy's already been spoken about a little bit, but I was really optimistic about Paul Curtis at 38. He was the one that I was sort of trying to decide which way I'd go. And in hindsight, I probably would have liked to actually have gone Curtis instead of Willis. But, you know, I'll deal with some poor decision making on the spot there. Ed spoke about Miller Bergman as well. I really like what he could potentially be at the next level. pretty special athlete, pretty versatile, can play at either end. So he's one that I would probably would have been interested in as well. I really would have liked to add another midfielder to Geelong's draft, and it just didn't really fall that way for me. But some of the names that I probably would have been looking at in this round here would have been maybe Hugh Jackson out of South Australia, or maybe even Cade Dittmar from Western Australia. So there's a couple of other names of some midfielders that I probably would have been eyeing off.
Yeah. And Declan, what about you? What are you sort of thinking this round?
Well, Rankin was my highest rated player lefts, and Pete covered that one off pretty well. My next two off the board would have been James Tunstall from East Perth. So probably isn't spoken up as much as his teammates like Dittmar and Amos, but you know, he's just sort of a versatile midfielder. He can play inside and outside. He's pretty tough. He's got, you know, not outstandingly athletic, but he's sort of athletic enough that it should translate at the next level. He's got pretty clean skills, especially when he's out in space. So I think he could be a good pickup sort of in the third round. Anthony Caminiti, who didn't get too much exposure, was a Victorian tall forward from the Northern Knights. And in one of his NAB League appearances this year, he kicked 5. So he's sort of got that capability to kick big bags. You know, he's athletic. He's a good lead up forward, got a good leap and good hands. So he would have been a good option for a club looking for a developing forward. You know, I also like Arthur Jones out of WA. I think what he's been able to do in the under 19s matches has been pretty impressive on a wing. And yeah, that's probably about it for the ones that I would have mentioned.
Okay. I mean, what do you guys think just before we wrap up? I mean, I sort of watch the boards throughout the year and I'm always interested in how people move. But one name that probably didn't get a lot of attention just in this last round here was Josh Brown, who obviously is an absolute ball pig and got a lot of it throughout the year. And probably because of that, maybe without having the impact, was rated by a few stat watchers as somebody who was who's potentially going to go in even the late first round. But taking a look at his year now, I mean, where do you sort of think he would sit? I probably see him as someone who might be available for a pick in this third round, maybe in the fourth. But what are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be about that range if he does go. And it is that it's, you know, he gets a lot of the ball and there's no denying that, but he probably lacks the hurt factor that a lot of other midfielders have. You know, he's sort of one of those handball first type of midfielders, but it was good to see that sort of as the season went on in the Waffle Colts, he was hitting the scoreboard more. So there's definitely room for improvement there, and it looks like he sort of knows that and he's working towards it.
Yeah. There is one interesting name on the draft board out of the Gold Coast, Hugh Greenwood.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if everyone saw that today, but for Gold Coast to meet the AFL criteria of taking 3 draft picks, they've delisted Greenwood and Rory Thompson. And intend to pick them with their last picks in the draft, which kind of seems, it's not quite in line with, I guess, the intent of the draft, is it?
Yeah, no, that seems a bit broken. I think everyone can agree. It is a little bit silly. So, yeah, probably not what the rookie list is there for. And the fact that, you know, they can pick him up and use it that way is... yeah, it's a bit of a rort, but, you know, if you can do it and get away with it, then why not? And that's obviously what they're doing. So, I mean, in terms of his draft ability for other clubs, I probably wouldn't look at him. But, if Gold Coast can do that, then fair enough.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I guess he'll have a contract value attached to him and everything. So any club who was interested would obviously have to match those terms. But, yeah, it was just interesting seeing it. And I just... yeah, I do feel it's a bit broken, and it's a bit the same way the rookie list is being used at the moment as well. So, I would like to see the AFL look into it and maybe tweak it a bit. I think it's probably a bit of a hangover from COVID. So,
but I mean, let's wrap it up though, guys. Look, we always really appreciate having you on, providing so much insight into the players. And for everyone that listens, any new listeners that are coming in to listen to this podcast that don't already follow Rookie Me Central, do follow them and start following some of their content as well, because you don't really see any better freely available content on the AFL draft, on really not just the AFL, AFLW draft. We've got way more than that as well. Netball, I see. What else are we covering these days, Peter?
Yeah, so we've got basketball, we've got tennis as well, and we've done combat. And look, we're looking to expand in the next 12 to 18 months, and it includes sports like, you know, cricket, soccer, rugby, that kind of thing over the next few years, just sort of build up and be able to grow that market. But obviously, it's nothing's going to change from the draft sense. We're still fully invested in that, as you can see from the team growing from today's podcast. So definitely excited to keep focusing on that and growing that and driving that even further, which is a really exciting time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the more sports you get across, the more hits you'll get from me. A bit of a sports watcher and Aussie rules basketball. Looking forward to cricket content. So now keep them coming, boys. You're doing a great job. And honestly, the last 2 years with the COVID impacts, John and I haven't been able to go see games like we normally would. Haven't been able to watch a lot of it apart from the stuff that, you know, comes through on YouTube and that sort of thing. So your kind of game updates and profiles and all that sort of stuff have just been really important for us to start gathering, you know, the types of players we like, the profiles and all that. So, you know, you guys are doing a great job and I can't recommend you highly enough to the wider AFL community. Your content is just A-grade and, yeah, just keep up the good work, boys.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, guys. Let's wrap it up and congrats again on the name change. Great season and enjoy the next 2 weeks of Footy Mad draft content. And look forward to this time again next year. I reckon we're going to get a much clearer season in terms of content viewing, going to be able to see matches and having the champs and a whole lot of other things. But all the best to any draftees that are coming up for the coming draft as well. It's a big time and I'm sure it'll all go well regardless of the output. So thanks again. Look forward to chatting with you all soon and all the best.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
If you constantly worry that the worst is going to happen, you're not alone. 1 in 4 Australians will experience anxiety. Know when anxiety is talking. Visit Beyond Blue to start a life beyond anxiety.